This is the Prophet's Corner Uncut. This is Sunday 3:15:26. The title is called Prepare for Glory. This is how the Lord started out talking to me about preparing for the glory. We're going to look at Job for a minute. Not all of it, but just one passage of Job. This is Job 42, starting with verse 10 there. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then came there unto him all his brethren, all his sisters, and all they that had been of his acquaintance before. In other words, things returned like they were before. And did eat bread with him in his house, and then bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought. Well, the Lord didn't bring it, but the Lord allowed it upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and every one an earring of gold. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 cattle, and 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 she asses. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters. He called the name of the first Jemima, the name of the second Keziah, and the name of the third Karen Hapuk. In all the land were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job, and their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. After this, Job lived 140 years, saw his sons and his sons' sons even 4 generations. So Job died being old and full of days. Captivity right here means prisoner, former state of prosperity. So God turned that captivity. We've had the Lord tell us the same thing concerning all the years that we have suffered in many areas. By comparison, Job's end was awesome to what he went through. What's so sad about things for me is that this is what the average Christian, if a Christian is finding out what God wants for them to do, renewing their mind with the Word of God, waiting on the Lord, and pursuing God's career for them, they're going to go through, maybe not as traumatic as Job, but they will go through their own Job-like experience in their training, just like Jesus in the wilderness. A lot of Christians don't understand. They think, well, God's ways are past finding out. Oh, really? That's why I wrote this whole book, had men pen this whole book. Because his ways are past finding out? No, it's because you're too dead-gum lazy to get in the book. That's the problem. You don't want to. You'd rather go have fun than get on your knees. Sacrifice watching TV all night or sacrificing going to a movie and saying, I'm going to stay home and pray. I'm going to seek God. There's the problem. But the Christian church, from the standpoint of what I have been in, they don't do that. They go to the preacher to get their answers or the prayer chain for the most part. There, every once in a while, you'll see somebody that actually seeks the Lord. It's like the Christian church does not think that they need to experience anything. The church is the Bless Me Club. And if anything's wrong, we'll go to the doctor or we go to the lawyer or we go to the experts of the world to find out what we ought to do, what our career should be. Where we should go to school, what we should do. We're all looking in the wrong place. You seek after the world, what are you going to get? What it has to offer. And I don't care at its finest. It doesn't have anything to offer. Not for the Christian. Okay. They don't understand that God trains and prepares his children for greatness and to be vessels of his glory. Because of this misunderstanding, most spend their time fighting against God. See, but going through these places, What did Job do? He sat out there and moaned and groaned and went on and on about his troubles. His three friends showed up and his wife, they didn't help the situation either. What they don't understand, what they didn't understand, is God's ways are the way they are. And I don't think this is just an exception to the rule when we got a Moses standing up or a Joseph standing up. I think he wants it for all of his kids. He has a plan for each one. And like I've said, and I'll repeat it again, my goal is every person that hears my voice will understand about renewing the mind to get. Now, they understand in the world, if somebody dies and leaves them money, they're going to go listen to the reading of the will. But if God says, I've left all of this for you, they don't have time to read the will. They don't have time to find out what's in the will for them. God has laid out a plan. And I'll tell you what, it's quite a will. More so, I don't care how much money's left to who. All that's going to burn up. But what God has left for his children is eternal. You can't get any greater than have a stake in God's will. He's left a portion for every single person. But some never find that out because they don't take the time to look in the will. If a relative dies and the lawyer calls, they'll run and they'll go and they'll listen to get their take. But will they do that for God? I'd like to take every young person. This ought to be the theme song for a youth group. Don't pursue colleges. Don't pursue this or that. Pursue God. Let him tell you where to go. And if you'll do that, you will never fail in life. You may have hardness. You may go through some Job-like experiences. But I can tell you at the end of the day, you'll be prosperous and have good success, just like Job did. He told Joshua, meditate my word day and night that you may know. Well, let me just read that. Joshua 1:9, I believe it is. Is it 1:9? 1:8. Okay, that's worth reading. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Oh no, I need to go get a PhD. You'd do better to be on your knees and give God, let God give you the PhD. Because colleges have brainwashed, totally brainwashed, because they've been owned by the cabal. They're part of the world system, the God of this world and his system. Anyone involved in that, whether they're a parent or not, that's the world system. And the only way to do that right is to go to the Lord. And he says, I want you to go to this college or I want you to go to this professional. Then you do it. If he says, okay, do it, you do it. That's the only way I can see that we're to go to the world for anything. Okay. Because of this misunderstanding, most spend their time fighting against God. When this is understood that it's God's way, then we can work with God. That's why he sent Jesus. He gave us a way out of this cursed place that we live in. It's cursed. But for his children, he's redeemed that curse. We can have heaven on earth before the millennial reign or whatever if we choose his way. Everyone has something God wants them to do, and that is, and their preparation of that is preparing for glory. I remember hearing Kenneth Copeland say one time, if the Lord only thing he ever tells you to do is take out the trash, he said it'll be the most glorious trip to the trash you've ever taken in your life. Because if that's all, what God wanted you to do and you did it, you were a success, no matter what. Look at Acts 23. The church has fought against God. If we don't pursue God and His way and His plan, we fight against God. His son paid a dear price for this plan. Salvation. Wholeness, soundness, preservation. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Acts 23, 1. I've taught that on TV a couple of times about young people. Don't run after those that got the best education at Yale or Harvard or whatever. No. Seek God. Let Him tell you where you need to go. This is verse 1. And Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, "Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. And the high priest Annas commanded them that stood by him to smite him on the mouth. Then said Paul unto him, God shall smite thee, thou whited wall, for sittest thou to judge me after the law, commandest me to be smitten contrary to the law? They that stood by said, Revilest thou God's high priest? Then said Paul, I wist not, brethren, that he was the high priest, for it is written, Thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people. But when Paul perceived that the one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, of the hope and resurrection of the dead I am called in question. When he had said, there arose a dissension between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the multitude were divided. Still the same today. For the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. There arose a great cry in the scribes that were of the Pharisees' part arose and strove, saying, We find no evil in this man. But if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him, let us not fight against God. And when there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces of them, commanded the soldiers to go down and to take them by force from among them and to bring him into the castle. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. This was Paul's mission. He run into this all the time. Those that say they love God and they want everything of God, but then they just, when he'd bring the message, they'd throw him in jail. Fighting against God and His ways. Seems to be the same today. Fighting against God and His ways. And there's so many, you know, I got to thinking about, instead of the church being a learning and training center, it's become a, well, this is my opinion and that's your opinion and, you know, we're going to do whatever we want. No, it's not supposed to be that way. There are doctrines laid down in the gospel to follow. Okay, not understanding God's ways can cause us to fight against God. I know for a lot of years I didn't understand his plan, didn't know how he was going to execute that plan, so I was doing what I thought, what I'd seen everybody else do. And because I did that, it cost me years. Lord had to isolate us and bring us to where we are now to get all that out of us so we could see clearly, because we quit going to churches and reading everybody's books and listening to everybody's tapes, and we started listening to God. And guess what? He started speaking to us, telling us the truth about things. That's my goal as an apostle, that sound doctrine be restored back to the church. That's what I taught this morning on TV. We get this, that His will is the only thing that matters. His will. Not our will, not we think, not what Brother so-and-so did or so-and-so did or their book said. No. Let's go over to Genesis for a minute. We're not going to read a whole lot here, but just a little bit. Genesis 37. All through the scriptures, God has sent those ahead. You can read the Faith Hall of Fame and see about all of them. But we're going to look at one today, just a little bit, not a lot. I'm not going to read a lot of scripture, just enough to make a point. Genesis 27, no, I'm sorry, 37. We're going to start with verse 5 there. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we're binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. Behold, your sheaf stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. Oh, we don't need no Strong's concordance. We got our own concordances at home. We don't. Sound familiar? Yeah. That's what happened to me. In a congregation, you could call. They thought God was trying to lay down his plan for them, and they rebelled. They were used to whatever they were used to. And they kind of hear with Joseph, here he is. He's saying what God gave him, and they didn't like it. All right, his brothers did not understand, so they hated him. They turned against him and sold him into Egypt. Well, we've been in Egypt, our own Egypt. Here on the backside of the oasis in the desert. I'm telling you, this is the thought process. The Lord began to take me down just a few days ago. I've got dreams. I've had dreams. I've told what my dream was. You'd think the place would be packed, wouldn't you? Well, see, God has a plan in all of this. He has dreams that he gives you. He has visions he gives you. But you have to get in line with him, and he'll say, I will show you how I'm going to work it out. How I'm going to lead you to that place, not you jumping out on your own and doing it yourself. That's the problem right there. Go to 39 verse 1. This is what God had to do for Joseph because he spoke to his brothers who had no understanding. Right here. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt. And Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him like a slave. He was in captivity of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. Now, in the book of Jasher, them Ishmaelites were horrible to him. He was such in grief, and he cried so much, they'd beat on him. They beat on him the whole time that he was in their company. To get him to shut up because he was in bitterness, crying and screaming and wanting out of this situation. But God allowed him to be hit and be abused, except some of them that hit him, their hands shriveled up. God avenged him even in that. gave him a place where he was esteemed to do his servitude. So Joseph was brought down to Egypt. He became a house slave. Then he was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife and thrown in prison. Innocent man. Okay, what was God doing? He was preparing Joseph to stand in a glorious place. He gave him the dreams of what he would do, but he had to be made worthy to stand in that glorious place. Did Joseph understand that? No. No more than we've understood what's trying. Did he try to get out of it? Yes, he did. All he wanted was to get rid of his awful circumstances. Sound familiar? But God had much more in store. God does not do things for no reason, and when we see that, it helps us to stay in place until we are elevated to our glorious place. Wherever God has placed you is your glorious place, whatever that may be. When you read the book of Jasher, you see all the horrible things that he went through to get just to where he was going to be abused even more. Kind of like what the Lord said to us, the way in was tough, but the way out will be just as long and it'll be tougher, basically, is what he said. I said all that to say this. The Lord said to me to see that I stand, to say that I stand in a glorious place, instead of seeing all the awful things I'm going through, because my destination is going to be a glorious place, because it's the place God has for me. But it's been hard to see anything but the agony. Same thing with Joseph. I kept hearing this. He kept saying, prepare for glory. When Joseph tried to take care of it himself, it just lengthened his prison stay. I am sure the day he stood before Pharaoh, that the dream he had had all those many years before came flooding back, and he finally understood why he had to go through all that he went through. You know, the butler and the baker came to the prison, and he interpreted their dreams, and he said, put in a good word for me, please, with Pharaoh. I'm here and I've done nothing wrong. I'm here unjustly. What happened? He got to stewing his juice for another couple of years until finally Pharaoh called one day. He jumped up, took a shower and shaved and put on some clean clothes and went before Pharaoh. And that day he went from the prison to the palace. There was no turning back. 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. And I'll stop there. See, God had a great plan for Joseph, and Joseph didn't understand it, and he suffered greatly because he didn't understand. And we have been in the same situation. We suffered greatly because we didn't understand. But God's plan is revealed to us by his Spirit. Like I started this out saying, my heart's desire is that whoever hears my voice learns to walk from the inside out, learns to seek God first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, not seek all these things, but seek ye first his kingdom, his way of doing and being right, the Amplified says. And then all these things taken together besides shall be added to you. It's not always easy in this rush, rush world, instant this and instant that. This is the statement I said, OMG. Looks like God has sent us back to blank, 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 blank. I'm not saying it on tape. I said, OMG. You know, oh my God. Looks like God is sending us back to blank, 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 blank. Think about Moses. He killed the Egyptian, had to flee for his life. But 40 years later, God sent him back to set his people free. Our mission statement is to set people free from the strongholds of their minds. I can see where God might start in the biggest charismatic church in the Permian Basin. We are in the day that God is setting the world free from our Babylonian exile. One more scripture. This is Revelation chapter 18, verse 4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues.